Chapter 5. My Assignment. J.J. McCracken was currently serving as the director of operations at Fun Jungle. Tracy Boyd, the previous director, had stepped down after only a few months on the job. The official story was that Tracy had decided running the park wasn't the best fit for her. The unofficial story was that, after the dual crises of a stolen koala and a collapsed shark tank, Tracy had suffered a nervous breakdown. JJ had come into Tracy's office one day and found her curled in the fetal position under her desk, gibbering about wombats. JJ owned a lot of other businesses, but Fun Jungle was his pride and joy, so he had put all his other work aside to take over the job until a new director of operations could be found. Pete Thwacker was in JJ's office when Summer and I arrived. Both men were staring through the giant windows behind JJ's desk, which looked out over Fun Jungle. The office was on the 7th floor of the administration building, the very top, and on a clear day you could see almost to San Antonio from there. However, some low-slung gray clouds were blocking the view. I could barely make out Safariland at the far end of the park. The main entrance was still visible, though, as it was right below us, and that was all Pete was interested in.
"Look at those crowds," he exclaimed, "and on a weekday in February, no less. I'm telling you, this elephant stampede is going to be a gold mine."
JJ didn't look convinced.
"You really think that's what brought them in?"
"Oh, I'm sure of it. Look down there."
Pete pointed toward the shattered remains of the Gorilla Grill.
"There must be 50 people looking at the wreckage."
I went to the window and looked myself. Normally, when disaster had befallen Fun Jungle, wooden barricades were quickly erected to hide the damage from the public. But today there was only a single strand of yellow ribbon cordoning off the destroyed restaurant, allowing guests to see it easily.
"That's why you're not covering up the story?" I asked. "To make the disaster an attraction?"
"Exactly," Pete cried. "I realize that every time we try to cover up something around here, it doesn't work. The public finds out and we get savaged for lying to them. So I ran some numbers."
He triumphantly waved a report he'd printed in the air.
"It turns out the public doesn't care if something bad happens here. In fact, their interest in the park increases, and these so-called bad stories get much more attention than the good ones. When we announced that the tiger cubs had been born, we got moderate press coverage from a few media markets around the country. But when the tiger escaped, that was international news. Same thing when Henry's funeral went wrong, or when the koala got stolen. So I figured, why try to cover up the elephant stampede? After all, those things don't happen every day." And I was right. The story's gone viral. It's trending at the top of the news. That's already generated interest in the park, and interest generates ticket sales. That small crowd down there isn't merely a one-day blip. It's the beginning of a trend. By the end of the week, I guarantee you 50 times that many people will be gathered around the scene of the stampede.
He turned to JJ. "We really shouldn't clean up that wreckage. People want to see it."
"I can't leave a smashed-up restaurant in the middle of my park," JJ protested. "It's a health hazard. And besides, I need that restaurant up and running again. Our guests need places to eat."
"So put some hot dog carts around the stampede site in the meantime," Pete said.
"I'm rebuilding the grill," JJ told him.
"Then what's the chance that we could stage another stampede?" Pete asked. "Unfortunately, there was no video taken of this one, which would have given the story even better play. So imagine that we have it happen again, during park hours, and get a little footage of it this time."
"Have an elephant stampede during park hours?" JJ gasped, incredulous. "With tourists around? Are you insane? We're lucky no one was hurt this time, and I lost an entire restaurant, which I now have to pay to rebuild."
"Insurance is covering that," Pete said dismissively. "But okay, I see your point. The elephant stampede is too risky. Is there any way to fake some other disaster? Giraffes trend very well, especially with the tween girl demographic. Do they stampede? Maybe we could have a few of them escape."
"No," JJ exclaimed. "I've got enough problems with all the real disasters we have around here. The last thing I need is to create fake ones."
"All right," Pete raised his arms in surrender. "I hear you. But at least think about it. I really think these disasters have some serious publicity potential.
Yeah, I'll think about it, JJ said in a way that meant he wouldn't. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have other things to deal with.
Of course. Pete headed out of the office, pausing to nod to me and flash Summer a trademark grin. Teddy, Summer, always a pleasure to see you two.
Once he was out the door, Hondo shut and locked it, then positioned himself to the side and stayed there, silent, like a piece of furniture.
Sorry to keep you waiting, JJ told Summer, giving her a hug.
Even with cowboy boots on, he was only a few inches taller than her.
How'd you do on your science quiz today?
Aced it.
Summer pulled the exam, marked with an A+ out of her backpack as proof.
That's my girl. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
JJ turned to me and extended a hand.
And how are your studies going, Teddy?
Very well, sir.
I shook his hand.
That's what I like to hear.
JJ waved Summer and me to his couch, then perched on the edge of his desk.
I didn't get where I am today by slacking off in school. In fact, that big old brain of yours is exactly what I wanted to see you about, Teddy.
So, I'm not in trouble or anything? I asked.
JJ burst into laughter. For a small man, he had a very big laugh.
Lord, no! Why would you think that?
Well, Summer wouldn't say why you wanted me here, and the last time I got called into your office, I was in trouble.
Well, this time you're not, JJ said. In fact, you're here because I could use your help taking care of some trouble.
What's that? I asked.
This Rhonda Rhino business. I understand you were there this morning when Atmani and your father found evidence of the attack.
Yes.
I won't kid you, JJ said. I'm extremely concerned about this. I want to find whoever fired that shot before they try again, and I think you might be of considerable assistance in doing that.
You mean you want me to help investigate? I asked.
I'd like you to aid in the inquiry, yes.
I glanced over at Summer, wondering what to make of this. She was smiling from ear to ear, apparently thrilled by what her father was saying. I turned back to JJ.
Last time there was a crime here, you warned me to stay away.
JJ gave a small, apologetic shrug.
You're right, I did.
You even said you'd fire my parents if I got involved.
Summer's smile faded. She gaped at her father.
Daddy, you didn't.
JJ held up a finger and Summer fell silent.
I might have implied there'd be consequences, but I never threatened anyone. And let's not forget, Teddy, at the time there was ample evidence that you were actually the criminal in question.
I started to protest, but before I could, he continued.
Anyhow, that's all water under the bridge. I apologize for any misgivings I might have had about you in the past. And given that you have proven your deductive skills in solving two crimes at this park, it would mean a great deal to me if you'd lend your assistance on this investigation as well.
You mean work with Chief Honecker? I asked, remembering how crusty he'd been with Atmani that morning. He's okay with this?
Of course he is, JJ said a little too quickly. I've told him about your talents, and he's smart enough to accept any help he can get on this. I mean, you're like your own personal Encyclopedia Brown. It doesn't make sense to keep you on the sidelines.
And I'll be able to help too, right? Summer asked.
Sure, JJ said. You can't have Encyclopedia Brown without Sally Kimball.
Summer grinned. So excited, she bounced up and down on the couch.
Come on, Teddy, this'll be great. It'll be like when we investigated Henry's death, only we'll have permission this time.
I considered the offer, although I didn't trust JJ McCracken much. I couldn't help being flattered by his comments about me. The truth was, I wanted to help. And not just because it would give Summer and me a chance to hang out together. I was concerned about Rhonda. And yet, there was one major issue holding me back.
I don't think my parents would approve, I said.
You don't think they want to find out who tried to kill the rhino? JJ asked.
No, I'm sure they do. They just don't want me doing it. The other times I investigated crimes here, I ended up in danger.
Well, that's not going to happen this time, JJ said. In those other cases, you were investigating on your own, which forced you into those dangerous situations. This time, you'll have the full support of my security staff. If any trouble arises, you call them, and they're the ones who'll face it, not you. Plus, I'll have Hondo keeping an eye on you, too. I'm not about to put a young man's life in jeopardy.
Still, I said. I don't think my folks'll agree. JJ chewed his bottom lip for a moment, then said,
You wouldn't necessarily have to ask their permission.
I sat back, startled. You mean lie to them?
Whoa, hold on now,
JJ raised his hand, signaling me to calm down.
My number one consideration here is for that rhino and her calf. I'll admit my reasons for building this park were entirely financial at first, but in the process I have developed great concern for the animals here, and I've become particularly fond of the rhinos. I'm sure you're aware of how endangered those animals are.
Summer and I nodded.
It's a travesty.
JJ hopped off his desk and began pacing around his office.
That an animal so wonderful and majestic should be hunted down for such idiotic reasons. There's not a whit of proof that rhino horn has any medicinal value at all, and yet entire subspecies have been wiped out in the wild, while the others are barely hanging on. Do you realize that more than 1,000 rhinos a year are being poached in the world?
No, I admitted.
They are, JJ said, and sadly those numbers just keep going up. So I'm doing my part to help. I got Fun Jungle signed up with the International Rhino Breeding Program. There's no profit in that. In fact, I'm losing money hand over fist on it, but I'm doing it anyhow, because I care about rhinos. The keepers and the vets and I have all sunk a great deal of time and energy into this, and now here we are on the threshold of our first success. We've got a baby rhino on the verge of being born, and some crackpot decides to take a shot at the mom. I don't know if it's a poacher going for her horn or a hunter who wants her head on his wall, or some knucklehead just trying to cause trouble. But I'll be cussed if I'm going to let them succeed. I'll use whatever means I have at my disposal to see that they are found and brought to justice. And one ace I have up my sleeve is you.
JJ pointed a stubby finger directly at my nose.
That rhino's life is at stake, Teddy, and I want to save her. So what'll it take to bring you aboard?
I thought about that for a bit. JJ's concern for the rhinos seemed genuine. And so was mine. I guess you could talk to my parents and see if you can convince them this is all right.
JJ nodded. Suppose I could.
He checked his watch, then looked to Summer.
Sweetheart, could you do me a favor? This rhino business has thrown a big old wrench into my plans today, and we're going to be home later than expected. Could you step outside to call your mother and give her the news?
Sure.
Summer stood, then smiled at me and said,
Thanks for agreeing to do this, Teddy.
I haven't, I said, but she didn't seem to hear me as she slipped out the door. Hondo followed her, leaving JJ and me alone. The moment the door clicked shut, JJ returned his attention to me. Although he was still smiling, something seemed to have changed about him. I suddenly had the same eerie feeling as when I discovered I was alone in the reptile house with a poisonous snake.
I have to be honest with you, Teddy, JJ said. I don't think my talking to your parents would do much to sway them. I doubt either of them likes me all that much.
You did try to have me arrested for stealing the koala, I said. JJ shrugged, as if this were the type of mistake people made all the time.
Whatever the case, you're right about them. There's a good chance they'll tell you not to get involved with this. But should that happen, well, I still want you involved. It'd be in everyone's best interests if you agreed to help.
There was something menacing about how he said this last bit. Like it was a threat rather than a request.
What do you mean? I asked. There are other people out there who do what your parents do, JJ said. It'd be hard to find a primatologist as good as your mother, but then I could probably find someone a little more cooperative.
I felt my stomach sink. So, if I don't help you, you'll fire my parents? JJ smiled, only it wasn't a genuine smile. It was the kind of smile you get from a crocodile.
I didn't say that. I'm simply asking for your help.
But, I began. Honecker's at the rhino house right now, JJ said, interrupting me.
From what I understand, he hasn't made a whole lot of headway yet, so it'd be nice to have another pair of eyes down there.
Honecker won't want me there, I argued. He doesn't even want Admani there, and Admani's your security consultant.
That's all water under the bridge. JJ told me. I had a little chat with Honecker this morning and let him know I want Admani's input on this, too. I don't want ego getting in the way of solving this crime. And as for you,
He plucked an envelope off his desk and handed it to me. It was sealed and said Honecker on the outside, in what I assumed was JJ's handwriting.
Give this to the chief when you get there. It ought to take care of any issues he might have.
I noticed that JJ hadn't asked me to go to the Rhino House, nor had he ordered me. He was simply acting as if my working on the investigation were a done deal. It felt like saying no to him would be a very bad idea, although the fact was, I didn't want to say no anyhow. I wanted to help, and it was kind of exciting that JJ trusted me enough to do it. I only wished it felt more like it had all been my decision.
Okay, I agreed.
Great. It's good to have you aboard. I look forward to hearing your thoughts.
JJ motioned me to the door, indicating our meeting was over. Before I even knew what was happening, I was standing in the room outside his office as he shut the door behind me. Summer was hanging up with her mother. She turned to me, her eyes wide with excitement.
So, are you doing this?
I guess so, I said.
Awesome! Summer exclaimed. Let's get started.
She grabbed my hand and led me down the hall toward the elevators. I couldn't help but feel excited myself. Maybe it was having permission to investigate a case for the first time. Or maybe it was having Summer excited to work with me. Or the thrill of having my hand in hers. And yet, underneath that, I felt worried, too. The last time there'd been a crime at Fun Jungle, JJ had threatened to fire my parents if I got involved. Now he'd threatened to fire them if I didn't. He hadn't actually said he'd fire them, which meant he could always deny it, but the threat was definitely there. It was unsettling to be manipulated like that, and I found myself fearing what J.J. McCracken might do if I failed him. For the time being, though, I had a mystery to solve.